You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Now, we're going to chat a little bit about employment today. And a statistic that often comes up is that only 27% of blind or partially sighted people of working age are in employment. It's a shocking statistic, which is why when programs that help people who are blind or partially sighted to get into employment are so welcome. And we're going to hear about one today, about the difference it can make, the confidence it can build, and why it's important for programs like these to exist. And joining us now to talk about the Step Up program is Emmy from Emmy's VIP Life. It is so nice to speak with you on a happy hour today, Emmy.
Yeah, it's lovely to speak to you as always.
Now, Emmy, tell me a little bit about the Step Up program. What is it and how did you get involved?
So this Step Up program with the Royal and Downgate Theatre, which is a theatre where I live, like, it's been running as a program for about 3 years now, but normally it's mainly focused on people with learning difficulties. However, this is the first year they've partnered with Northampton Association for the Blind. I'd spoken to Northampton Association for the Blind a little while ago to ask if they had anything available. And so when this came up, I was the first person to be recommended to do it. So it's a very kind of new thing of them having someone who's got a visual impairment, they're doing it. But basically, it's like working either in the film house or in the main theatre, either scanning tickets or working in the theatre shop, and just basically doing voluntary shifts to start with, and then eventually then progressing either into paid work with the theatre or with someone else through their connections, using the skills that have been developed during the programme.
That's amazing. And you've already started your first kind of placement shifts with the programme. How have you found them so far?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it so far. The first one, I was kind of in like their film house bit, scanning tickets, so there wasn't quite as much to do, so I didn't quite enjoy that one as much. But then my second one, really enjoyed it. I was in the theatre shop, like, selling the drinks and ice creams during, like, the interval and, like, before the show and stuff. And because there was just so much more to do, I just enjoyed it a lot more. So there's a lot more kind of, yeah, interacting with customers and kind of also, like, different skills. Because I've never really worked in retail just because, obviously, it's not really something that's viable with the vision impairment. So this kind of felt more in a different kind of, like, different aspect of working that I'd never really done before, which adds, like, another level of excitement to what I'm doing, basically.
And could you remind us, how much vision do you have?
So the main genetic condition that I've got is Bardet-Biedl syndrome, but the sight impairment part is retinitis pigmentosa. So I've got very limited peripheral vision, no depth perception, and then I've got light sensitivity, night blindness, and a slight colour blindness.
And when it comes to, I guess, adapting things at the theatre to make them work with your sight loss, like, what adaptations have there been made?
I must admit that obviously because I'm the first one I've ever done with someone who's got a vision impairment, obviously at the moment there's a lot of trial and error, really. But, like, for example, like, they're a bit more lenient with, like, it took a bit longer to try and scan the ticket, or, like, I think one time it was like 5 attempts to try and scan the ticket, and, like, asking questions like if I can see the red dot for scanning barcodes, or if there's something where it's like, normally it's a different colour, say it's like, they normally colour code things as red, green and blue, they've actually rewritten the code as the colours that I see it as, so that I know where those items are, even though they're a different colour to me as they are to everyone else. A lot of it is just basically wherever, if someone tells me where something is, as long as it doesn't move, like, I'm relying, like, a lot on my memory skills more than my physical sight.
Is this your first kind of job? Has it been difficult to find jobs in general?
Yeah, so when I came back from the Royal National College of the Blind, I'd really been trying to find, like, some kind of job to do, and I have really struggled to find something. I think just because the job market in general is just really tough at the moment anyway, whether you're sight impaired or not. So I've been quite lucky to kind of do different courses and activities with the Victor Charity, and then now suddenly this other one's come up with the Downgate Theatre. So, and this one, it's more being able to get out and about and actually interact with people more than just being stuck at home and doing stuff like online or over Teams.
And I guess it's also a way to show people that work at the theater that you can make adaptations and you can make the job accessible to other people. So it could maybe in the future open up that job or workplace to other blind and partially sighted people like yourself.
Yeah, actually already they are playing around with other different adaptions. Like I think they said that they want to have a little play and see if Meta glasses are a good thing that work there in like the next couple of months. And they're really open to different adaptions and kind of figuring out ways that would make it more accessible. So they're purposely trying to adapt their accessibility in general at the moment anyway. So I think it's a really good time to kind of show that it can be done to make it accessible for people to work there.
I guess the nice thing as well, because you're there, you can have a lot of that, as you mentioned, the dialogue back and forth for what works specifically for you. Because even if someone after you comes in and maybe does this program again with them, they might have different requirements or different needs depending on what their vision is.
Yeah, but I also think part of what I love about this program so far is when I'm actually doing it, a lot of the time I've had people come up and actually basically say to me that they wouldn't be able to tell that I've got a visual impairment because I'm getting on with it so well and adapting to it so well. They just said that I'm able to do the job and that even though there's a few adaptions, literally they said, because I can remember where all the things are and kind of interact with people. They basically just, yeah, a couple of times said that they really couldn't tell that I've had the sight impairment.
You're really proving that by not, I guess, expanding your search for employees, you're really missing out because you might make assumptions about what someone can and cannot do, and you'll be completely wrong.
Yeah, and actually, a lot of the time, it's just something as simple as one employer or one organization just giving somebody the opportunity to give something a go. Or just giving them the opportunity to actually get into that environment or that workplace and showing it's possible to be able to work effectively despite any kind of disability or limitation that they might have.
What would be your biggest tip for anyone who is maybe struggling at the moment with applying for jobs? Maybe they're feeling a little bit disheartened because they've done many applications, maybe they're not hearing back.
I think the biggest thing is probably not narrowing your search like too much. I kind of originally thought I would only really want to go into kind of history or heritage stuff, but because the market for that is so small, I think it's best just kind of just going for any opportunity that's kind of out there. Just anything that comes up, don't object it straight away. Like, is it a possibility? Even if it's not quite what you want to go into. Even if it's something that you think you'd be able to enjoy, or even just like transfer the skills over to what you actually want to do, it's still worth giving it a go because you don't know what connections could come out of that, or what skills or opportunities could come out of whatever it is you're doing. So, for example, like interacting with customers or being able to go and find stock could easily transfer to so many different jobs, not just what I'm doing now at the theatre. CV is one of those things where I think you have to just constantly update it. I look at mine a little while ago because I've just realised that it just needed updating because there were certain items that weren't on there that I'd done. So I think it's worth every kind of, what, a little while or so, just having a look at it and reading through and just think, is there something else that I've done that I haven't added to it? Or is there a skill here that I've learned that could be beneficial but I haven't added it on yet? I think it's just one of those cases where, yes, you probably will get disheartened because I did. I sent so many emails out to people trying to find something. I think I sent like 70 odd emails. And it's just that one person suddenly comes and says something that isn't a no straight away, that offers you something, and you just should just grab it straight away. Because, like I said, you don't know what that opportunity is going to lead to.
Well, Emmy, I'm so glad to hear that you're doing the program, and I hope you get to learn a lot more exciting things, maybe a bit more behind the scenes of a working theatre and film house.
Yeah, and actually, I've got my third session of it tonight. So it's the illusionist Darren Brown's on tonight, and so I think there's going to be about 1,000 or over 1,000 people there. So it's going to be a busy night for us in the theatre shop.
Are you feeling nervous?
Not really, no, because when I went last time into the theatre shop for the first time, I was very nervous. But because now I'm familiar with it, I'm actually just really excited and just can't wait to see what happens, really.
Well, I hope you have a fabulous time tonight. And yeah, keep us updated with how you're getting on with the program. And thank you so much for speaking on the Happy Hour today.
Yeah, and as always, thanks for having me, and I love sharing stuff and having a chat, and hopefully see you again maybe a bit further down the line when I'm near the end of the program and kind of letting know a bit more about what it's about and kind of what I've learned and how I've then progressed on to whatever I do afterwards.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.